Well, happy new year to everybody out there in TV land. It is the 4th of January, 2023. I didn't think we were going to make it this far, not meaning the show, like the whole country. Yeah, see the flag still upside down, as you can see that. And today's show is going to be interesting. We've got an in-studio guest, Lucy. You know, she was kind of, you know, how she loves to yell at the audience. And it's all in love, everybody. It's all in love. It's one of my favorite parts of the show, actually. And she had mentioned something about Mormons and Christians. So she said, you know what? I think I need to bring in a recovering Mormon so that you guys can get a little better understanding of what she was meaning. That was episode 444. Well, no, 443, which was last Wednesday. It was the year in review. I actually got a chance to come on the show. So I highly encourage you to watch that show just because I'm on it, right? Just because I'm on it and I got a chance to actually go in front of the camera for more than 5 minutes. And I can see her in the corner of my eye. She's giving me that stink eye where she's like, Michelle, you better keep it to 5 minutes today. And I said, okay, I'll start off the year right this time. For once, I'll make sure that I say it 5 minutes. But Jerry Payne is her special guest today. And she's going to be talking about, as you can see in the title, in the cry on there, Loving Your Mormon Neighbor in Christ, a story of coming out of Mormonism. You're recovering, you have your recovering addict, you have recovering attorneys, you have recovering Mormons. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And she's here in the studio. So, and then Lucy has, I'm surprised she came to work today, you know, but she was not feeling that well. She had laryngitis. So that beautiful voice of hers is not going to be heard today live. We're going to play a song that her and Julia, I remember Julia was on this episode or on the show. It's her daughter, second daughter. And she's the one that's in Nashville right now trying to go make it big, but she has the talent to do it. So maybe you should throw some prayers in Julia's way. She gets some gigs. She gets that incredible voice out there. I'm not saying that she's better than her mom, but she is. Okay. Shh. Because she's younger. See, that's the thing is when you're young, you have the ability to show your talents. All right. It's 11:03. What I want to do is I want to make sure that you guys go over to JesusRocksLive.com. That's JesusRocksLive.com. That's when you're going to get all of your shows. But you know what's interesting? I'm going to tell you a quick little story. So as I mentioned in the show last week, I spent a couple days before that going through past episodes. Well, I spent literally the past week and a half going through past Jesus Rocks episodes, past Everything Home episodes, past episodes that Lucy and I did together. And it literally was, it was beyond the year in review. It was like life in review. And it was such an incredible lesson for me over and over that what I've done is I've actually brought it to you guys and even then some more, because I was involved in quite a few number of group chats and group emails. And I could not believe the things that people were saying. And it's not because they were wrong. They just didn't know. So that when I came in and I'm like, okay, I can't listen to it anymore. I can't take it. And then I shed the light on it, which was just truth. It wasn't opinion. They were like, oh, I had no idea. I said, oh my God. And this happened literally for a week. I had to stop. I had to put the phone down. And I said, you know what? I've been fortunate enough to have Lucy come into my life. And we started doing the shows before Jesus Rocks, then our Joshua Month, then Jesus Rocks. So I kind of got like immersed in it. And as he said, you know, I got like a private tutor. So if it could do all these incredible things for me from a personal standpoint, from a faith standpoint, from a professional standpoint, maybe it's about saving your freedoms, personal, financial, and professional, and saving your country and saving your soul. I said, I got to do this for everybody else, because as I was just sharing simple things in these group texts and groups emails, I said, this is unbelievable. And people are like, wow, how do you know all this? You can start with Jesus Rocks Live. So what I did is as I mentioned before, we've got the Substack. It's almost it's all free right now. Okay. It's going to be free probably for another couple hours. And there's certain things that are going to, the Arizona stuff's always going to be for free on the Substack, but you do the combination of the Substack and the locals, and it's going to have take action resources, take action toolkits, incredible content, behind the scenes stuff, stuff that you've never seen before, stuff that you can't get anywhere else. And I did it. So it's only $15 a month. And it's going to have all the transcripts for Jesus Rocks Live. They're all being done right now. It just takes time because I had to hire people to do it. And you're going to have all that. And it's cheaper than Netflix, because I just, real quick, as I canceled my Netflix, I forgot that it was there. That was more than what this is. And I guarantee you're going to get more out of it than that. So I want you to do this. And I have my sign, right? I want you to go to savemyfreedom.us, savemyfreedom.us, right? You're going to sign up. And then on the right hand, on the top of it, it says join locals. You're going to do both, because both platforms offer different things. So I'm combining both of them and so you can get all the information. And then I want you to join me tomorrow because on my show here at 11 o'clock a.m. Mountain Time, and that's 1 p.m. Eastern Time, I'm going to go ahead and give you all the prep that you need for 2023. And then Friday, don't forget to turn in a Brighteon.tv at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going local Arizona. We're going to Brian Ferentz and Jim O'Connor. We're going to tell you everything that's been going on here with all the shadiness and all the fraud in our own legislative districts, in our county, our state. And then we'll shed some more light. I've spent 7.5 hours in the past 2 days with Leo D'Onofrio on the phone. And we're bringing you some huge things with the to get this state turned around and get the election resolved. And it's not going to necessarily come from the courts the way you think it is. So lots going on. Tune in. You can always go to, again, savemyfreedom.us. Sign up there and then join us. Subscribe to it. I'm going to tell you it's changed. It'll change your life. It changed mine. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So I'm going to let Lacey go. And then we're going to play that song because she can't. She can barely talk today. I'm kind of actually enjoying the non-talking, to be honest with you. All right, there you go.
Good morning, everybody. And I'm a little, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, but he gave me his voice. So I'm a little bullfroggy today. But my brother and my daughter, Julia, and I wrote this song a couple of years ago. We recorded it and I'd like to start because you know how important worship is. It prepares our hearts and our minds to hear what the Lord wants us to hear. So, and me being a worship leader, I don't ever like to not start any kind of prayer without worship first. So let's take a minute, just enjoy this beautiful song, this original song. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for Jesus. We just celebrated the birth of our great, great Messiah, Father God. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for everything you do, my Father God. Help us to remember that your will is to be done on this earth, Father God, and help us to align our prayers with you, my Father God. We love you, God. We thank you, God. We worship you, God. And now, God, if you would just speak through me, speak through my friend Jerry, Father God, and teach us and lead us and guide us in your love and your humility and your gentleness. And thank you for your mercy and your grace when we don't deserve it. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that I pray. Amen. I, without further ado, am going to bring on my dear friend Jerry. But first, I want to introduce her. So, and I'll tell you how I met her. So, Jerry is the second of eight children born into a Mormon family. Mormon families are big. It's funny because I didn't really know a lot about Mormons being from the East Coast until I moved to Arizona. But I had a big family. I had five children. And back East, people would go, oh, you must be Irish Catholic, because the only people who had really big families back East were Irish Catholic. Then when we moved out here and people would go, you know, I'd say, oh, yeah, I have five daughters. They go, oh, you must be Mormon. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that we do have big families, right? She had five sisters and two brothers. After meeting Jesus of the Bible, Jerry had a deeper hunger for the truth and a thirst for the word of God. Walking with Jesus for only 7 years now, she says the Holy Spirit has been her teacher. And I can attest, I've known Jerry for a few years, and I had no idea that she was not a lifelong mature follower of Jesus. I really, sorry for my runny nose, but I had no idea. She's one of the most mature followers of Jesus that I've ever met. For her, the word of God is alive and functions as her guide into all truths. If things don't align with the word, Jerry throws it out as not of the one true God. And I've seen that firsthand, so she's right. She's a worshiper, an encourager, a daughter of the Most High God. She's a demon slayer. She only wants to be remembered as loving her Jesus more than anything else. I met Jerry about 4 years ago. She's also a PC. She doesn't shy away from getting involved in her government. And she was running for school board. And she was one of the other candidates, conservative Christian candidates, along with me, who was trying to take over the Scottsdale school board. We all got taken out of our races, needless to say. But so without any further ado, I would love for you to welcome my good friend, Jerry Payne. Hi, my sister.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So last week, I yelled at Mormons a little bit. I do get frustrated. It's frustrating. But Jerry's one of my closest friends, and she's been walking me through the Mormon traditions and stuff and teaching me. And one of the things that I've learned, because I do have my own little Book of Mormon here and I do kind of peruse through it, it reads kind of like a mirror image of the Old Testament in a weird way. But one of the interesting things is, one of the things she said was, you know, if I were ever to say what I said on the TV to like a large group, to an individual, if I would have said, Jerry, hey, I know you're a Mormon, but you don't really follow Jesus, she would have run from me, because they really do believe it's a fine line. If you read this book and you don't really know Jesus of the Bible, it's like dental floss. It's so deceiving. It really does seem like he is the real Jesus of the Bible, but then there's things that we know that aren't. And that's what Jerry's going to talk to us about today. So I'm just going to kind of let her go. I've got some questions that I thought maybe you guys would want to know, having a recovering Mormon in our presence. I really want to take advantage of you and learn from you today. And so I'm just going to start you off and let you go. Like, what's it like growing up as a Mormon? What's church like as a Mormon? What's life like as a Mormon child?
So, yeah. Well, thank you, Lucy and Michelle, for having me. And I'm here today to share my Christian love, my Christ love for Christian people, and to share how to love
our Mormon neighbors. I was born and raised into a very dysfunctional Mormon family. And I didn't get to meet Jesus or hear the gospel until late in my 40s. And I was a very inactive Mormon. Therefore, I didn't really understand their doctrine and their teachings, because as a young child, there was some things in my mind that were hypocrisy. They would say one thing, then they'd do something different. So, you know, especially within my household. But then I had questions always about the polygamy, the, you know, and then I'd always get like very shallow answers, and it still didn't add up. And then it was, you know, the late 70s where the Black people could even hold the priesthood or even get into their celestial kingdoms. So that it didn't sit well with me either.
So the Mormons are kind of racist?
It's not really a racist. So the church is literally an evolving doctrine and church. There's so many teachings. Like when you read the book of Abraham, it teaches that the curse upon Cain was black skin. The black skin, the darker skin people were were cursed with that dark skin. Wow. Now it has changed. So a lot of people, you know, Mormons don't really even understand that. Mm-hmm. But it has changed so many different times. And I also, through my walk, I see that even in the Christian churches, as I, you know, for years and years, I never went to the Mormon church. I went to other denominations. And but I didn't really read the book, the Word of God, for myself. Mm. And the cross has always been not there for me. They don't talk about the cross. The Mormonism teaches that the atonement really happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, and that the cross was just the death of Jesus. The cross could have been hit by a chariot for all they know. That was just the death of Jesus, per President Hinckley. He has spoken that. But as a child growing up, you know, we would get the Word of God monthly in a magazine, what they called Ensign.
Hmm.
And we would have to read it. And, you know, we were very family oriented. We had family home evening. We were structured. It was all structured for all the families throughout the whole regions to be doing the same exact thing. So it was really, in my mind's eye now, indoctrinated. It was all, it was all tradition. It was all written.
Mm.
And with the prophets and the general leaderships, their word trumps the Word of God, the Bible.
Wow.
Because they believe in the Bible as long as it's translated properly. And they believe that the Book of Mormon is a second testament to the life of Jesus Christ. So having you know, general conference would be part of the Mormon growing up. So twice a year they'd have a general conference, and it was done in Salt Lake City and aired. And we wouldn't have church or anything, which was really awesome because church was so long. It was like 3 hours. And so we got to stay at home and watch it on TV. And then they would, they believe in a living prophet, and they would be getting, he was the only one, he's like a high priest who would get the Word of God from God. Whether it aligned with the Word of God, I didn't know growing up because I didn't read the Bible. Read some of the Bible.
Okay.
And I always questioned that. Was that for you?
Yeah, that was another question. But what I'm hearing is, and I don't know if any of you guys are Catholic or like me, recovering Catholic. It sounds a lot like the Catholic Church, because we didn't read the Bible. We were not allowed to. And we deferred to the priests over God, the Pope over God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That is true. And, you know, one thing that I do, the fundamental, you know, the moral, the, you know, teachings that I learned about, you know, taking care of my temple, taking care of, you know, dressing modestly, doing the right thing, serving others. We fasted every single first Sunday of the month, and the fasting, the food that we didn't eat, we'd give away to the, well, I think it went back to the church, mm-hmm. but it was more of a sacrifice, but we had to do this. And then we would break fast, you know, mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. the long church.
So getting to the dressing. So I knew my daughter had a lot of Mormon friends in college, and one in particular was graduating, and she was getting ready. She was like 20 years old, not even 21 years old yet. And they, her parents were sending her to like Brazil for 2 years to do her mission. Mm-hmm. And I remember we went to her ceremony and everything, and she got her undergarments. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the undergarments?
Yeah.
I'm trying to ask questions that like, I know you guys want to know, because these are questions that I have. Like the undergarments are kind of interesting.
So they call them temple garments, and people call them magical, you know, underwear. It's a little bit offensive to them. I did go into, you know, every single time that I went back, when I would fall and I would go back to church, I would just go to my familiar, which was mm-hmm. the Mormon church, because I thought it was another sect. It was like Baptist, Lutheran. It was just part of church by being a mm-hmm. Christian. So I did go into the temple. During that time, we took an endowment covenant to God, and that those temple garments was a reminder of our covenant to him to do right. And it was, and they, it does say that they're protective, protective of the bodies. And there's a lot of spiritual experiences mm-hmm. that I've walked through in the LDS religion. And those experiences, when I compare them with like when I was dabbling it like in yoga, it was a counterfeit experience. So it's true to the person because you have that experience. But now that I know the Holy Spirit, he's showing me that a lot of those were counterfeit experience,
right.
Because there is a huge thing in the temple. You know, they have the veil up. They have a lot of things that, you know, I didn't even realize. I didn't study, you know, the temple of the Old Testament and how the veil was there, and how Jesus, when he did on the cross, he tore that veil. And that, because in that temple, the high priest would go in yearly and sacrifice, you know, the blood for the sins.
Yeah.
But those high priests had to be very holy.
Oh, yeah.
And in the Mormon temples, they literally have put the veil back up.
Oh my gosh.
Because the veils are there.
Wow.
The veils are there.
Wow.
So and it's very sacred to them. And I understand it, but I also
understand.
So
do they not believe in the resurrection?
They believe in the resurrection. But
the veil is back.
Correct.
That's
because they believe in ordinances and its works. Then God will give you a specific amount of grace in order to not sin.
Right.
So it's grace is just like funneled down through your works. Okay, now you can not sin because I've given you some grace.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Very, very interesting. So let's talk about the gods and the planets. But before we get to that, I was reminded of what you were saying in Exodus, when Moses is up on the mountain for those 40 days, getting his orders, his instructions, getting the tablets engraved by God. In that time, the people fell back. It wasn't that long. And they fell back. And the thing that got me when I read that story in the Exodus was that's all of us. They weren't falling back into you know, just complete disobedience. They were falling back to familiar traditions mm-hmm. yes. that they had been living through and experiencing their whole lives as slaves in Egypt.
Right.
But these traditions and these rituals became their source of comfort. So when Moses was gone, they were looking for their comfort. And so they went right back to their traditions.
Built a calf.
Right. And they built the false idol. Calf, and yeah. They go, we go, and we do. We go right back. That's why we say if you're not practicing your faith, if you're not diligently praying, yes. worshiping, studying the word, putting it on your heart, you're like a ship without an anchor. You're going to drift.
And that's where the word works comes in.
Yeah.
It's a four-letter word, yeah. work. We must read the word of God
right.
to understand the word of God.
Right. That's the
word.
So
that we're ready. Yeah, because we all Amen. Are will be held accountable.
Yeah. So now talk about the gods and the gods and all that.
So I just kind of want to go back a little bit. So Joseph Smith at 14, the great apostasy that the Mormons believe that from the time that the last apostle died in the New Testament once
he died.
I'm sorry
to interrupt you. I have to break Brighteon. We have to leave you guys now. I'm really sorry, Brighteon. Go over to JesusRocksLive.com and catch the rest of this. And you're going to want to see the rest of this because she's going deep on the Mormons, and she's going to teach us how to talk to Mormons too. So make sure, Brighteon, you're following up on Jesus Rocks Live. Thanks. See you later, Brighteon. We love you.